Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
Good morning. Boy, this is really strange to be in an empty church, but I'm glad that we have this capability to speak to you. And we do have some people here today, but I just want to go over some announcements with you. Thank you for tuning in online. We're blessed to have this ability for this, but we are starting a new prayer time on Sundays at 9 a.m. before Sunday school. And so I'd like to invite you out for this time. We're going to continue to pray right before our service at 10:30, but we're also going to add this 9 a.m. time because I really feel like we need to bathe our services in prayer. So if you can come out, we'd love to see you and stay for Sunday school as well. Just a reminder that the Blessful Brunch Banquet is next Saturday. It's not too late to sign up for that. You can give me a call, give Adavi a call, Nancy a call, or text us and we'll get you signed up for that. Also, too, we're going to have a baptism next week. We were going to do that this week, but obviously with the weather and what happened, we're actually going to be doing that next week. So if you'd like to be baptized, all you have to do is let me know. And then I always like to meet with people beforehand and just explain it and make sure that we understand it correctly and we're on the same page. The Bible trivia winner was announced, I believe, on Facebook. Andrew did that, and the winner this week was Brenda Daniel, so congratulations. I think the prize is $1,000. You just have to pick it up in person, and if you don't, we'll just get somebody else in here that maybe answered correctly, and we'll pass on the prize to them. Last but not least, we are getting ready to start accountability groups. And what I would like for you to do is to just begin to pray about those groups. So we want to pair you up with a group the size of 2 to 4 people, same sex. And this group will daily post in there that they are reading their Bible and what they're reading and if they're, you know, if the Lord is speaking to them about anything. And also prayer requests. And what you'll do as the accountability group is just make sure every person is doing that. So if you'd like to be a part of that, which I hope you will, think about that. Think about who you'd want in your group. If you're new to the church or if you're not sure who to be paired with, we'll also have a sign-up sheet. And I'll personally help you find an accountability partner in the church. So all you need to do right now, though, is pray about that. I do that with a group of 3 other guys, and I also do that with my family, and I think that'd be a great group as well, besides your accountability group, to do one with your family and just make sure that everybody's in the Word and communicating about those things. So that's what I have for the announcements. If you would you just posture in your heart and get ready to worship. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I know this is a little bit different for me, and I'm sure other people, but we're grateful to still be able to gather together. And I pray that you would be all over this service, that you would touch people in their homes, that you'd speak to them, Lord. We just want to worship you, hear from you, and be changed by you. Lord, we love you and we give you praise. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise in the valley, our praise on the mountain. I'll praise when I'm sure, and I'll praise when I'm doubting. I'll praise when outnumbered, I'll praise when surrounded. 'Cause praise is the water, my enemies drowning. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise. Oh, my soul, praise place, cause I know you're still in control. Cause my praise is a weapon, it's more than a sound. My praise is a shout that brings Jericho down. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to
thank you.
We're just going to enter into a time of prayer, and if you just, again, prepare your hearts for that, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you are a God like no other, a God who sent his Son to come down to make a way so that our relationship with you could be restored. Father, we thank you that you are a God who continues to work today. We thank you for all the blessings that our church has experienced with bringing new people in, new relationships for that, Lord. Father, we thank you that you are a God who heals. We're thinking of Gordon Childers and what you've brought him through. You are also a God who protects. I'm remembering the fire at Carol's, and I pray that you just be with them and help them to restore. Father, thank you that you call people to be first responders, to step in harm's way and to help us. Lord, we thank you for this brunch that we have coming up. I pray that you would just work mightily through that and encourage and bless people and start relationships through that. Father, we know that you are a God who guides, and so we come to you and just seek your wisdom, seek your will about some things that our church is looking at, Lord. Father, we want to be a church that prays. And so would you help us to accomplish that? Father, I pray that our church would be known for prayer, would be a house of prayer, Lord. Father, I pray for these accountability groups, that you would lay it on people's hearts. It may be awkward, but we know that we're called to do that, to spur one another on. Father, we thank you for all our teens and children. Father, it is our desire to see our teens be placed in ministries and to serve you and to give them opportunities to speak through them and use them in a mighty way. So would you help all our ministry leaders accomplish that? Father, we pray for our Haitian brothers and sisters. Lord, some are still separated from their families. And Lord, it is our desire to see them reunited. So Father, we pray that you would make a way for that to happen. Lord, I pray that we as a church would minister and be good family to our brothers and sisters, and that they would know that how much we love them and care about them. Lord, would you enable communication to happen, Lord? Father, we pray that we'd be able to start a Bible study in their own language, Lord, so that they can learn more about you and have that fellowship. Father, we pray for our kids at the quiz meets, Lord. We know that they work hard, and we pray that they would be blessed through this, Lord. And we pray that you would increase the size of this group and more kids would be in Bible quizzing. Father, we pray for our direction in possibly bringing in another pastor. Lord, if it's your will, we pray that you would see that accomplished and that you'd guide us in this. Lord, we have a parsonage that is unused. And Lord, we want to use it for ministry or be good stewards with it. Lord, would you just guide us in what to do with that? Father, we pray for our missionaries, Lord, 500 in the Church of the Nazarene scattered throughout the world. Lord, today we remember Carlos and Elvia Sanchez in Panama. Lord, we pray that you'd bless their ministry, that you'd speak mightily through them. We pray that you'd give them favor with the communities that they are involved in. Father, I pray that they would have many opportunities to preach your name, to share the good news, Lord. Father, watch over them and protect them. Father, I pray that we would also see ourselves as missionaries, especially in our workplaces, in our families, Lord, in our neighborhoods, in our communities. Give us opportunities. Give us boldness, Lord. It's scary at times, but Lord, let us just speak what you lay on our hearts. Father, I want to lift up some specific prayer requests for our people in here. Lord, we lift up Sharon. This procedure that's coming up, I pray that you'd be all over that and then that. We pray for relief. Lord, there are multiple people in our church that are stuck with habitual pain and different things. We know that this is a little different, but I'm just reminded of them, and I just pray that you'd be with them. Father, I pray for my friend Rob, who lost his mother, that you'd be with him and comfort him as only you can and his family, Lord. Father, I pray for my friend Stephen, that you would remove these seizures from him, that you would give him freedom from that. Father, we pray that he'd never have a seizure again, Lord. Father, we pray for our country. We pray for our leaders, Lord. We desire that our nation would be led by godly men and women. And so would you accomplish that? Would you bring them to an end of themselves, Lord? And would you be first and foremost in their lives? Father, we remember John. We thank you that his surgery went okay, and we pray that you'd help him with recovering from that. We pray for Jack and Ann with all that they're dealing with, Lord, and Michelle, who's a friend of Norma Patton. Father, we pray that you would bring her through this rough time, Lord, and that she would be able to get out of the ICU, off this ventilator. Father, we pray for comfort and strength and peace for Catherine. Lord, we remember Bonnie and Ray with the loss of their daughter. I don't know how you deal with that. Father, I pray that you would comfort them. You would be with them. That I pray that your presence would be known to them. Father, we remember Marvin's family too as well. Pray you continue in that, Lord. We pray for Lydia Fields, who's also in the ICU, that you would heal her and bring her through that, Lord. There's many people that messaged me today, Brian and Mariana and Chris, Lord, and others who are sick. I pray that you would just help them and heal them, Lord. That's our request, Lord, but we want your will. And Father, I just want to praise you for kids that make noise, cell phones that go off in the middle of a service, because this is just, this silence is deafening. Lord, this silence is what a dead church sounds like. And we'd take those kids' noises and those people noises any day, Father. Lord, just be with each person that's gathered and listening to you. Be with each church that's gathered in your name, Lord. We pray that you would take us deeper and wider than we've ever been, Lord, and that you'd send us out into this dark world, Lord. Father, give us that desire. Remind us of what's at stake, Lord, and help nothing get in the way of your mission, Lord. Father, help us to die to ourselves, die to what we want, and live completely for you. Father, speak through your word today. May our hearts be soft. May our eyes and ears be open. May there be no distractions to get in the way of that, Lord. We just ask this in the name above all names. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. I almost said you can be seated. That would have been a little bit weird. We're going to be in Matthew 6, beginning at 9. This is the last message in our series on prayer. I think the worst thing that could happen would be to go through these 5 weeks and end it, and there still be people who are not praying. Still be people like me who didn't fully understand or realize what prayer is, about the privilege, Lord, and what it accomplishes. Father, I know that only a statistics tell us that only a third of us are actively in prayer. A third of us who call ourselves Christians are praying, and half of those prayers are primarily focused in on ourselves. Lord, we have much to learn. It's a far cry from what we see Jesus model. It's a far cry from what we see the first century church and those believers model. I pray that we would be like that. I want to show you something that just spoke to me recently about prayer. And David says this in Psalm 141, beginning at verse 1. I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me. Hear me when I call to you. May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting up of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. I read that and I was like, are my prayers like incense before God. In the temple, when that was around, the priests were to bring incense and burn that before the Lord day and night. And that was supposed to continue throughout eternity for the generations to come. It was supposed to be everlasting. Incense was an expensive mix of perfume. And they burned it because it was simply a pleasing aroma before the Lord. It was a gift meant for him. And David says, let my prayers be set before you like that. Let my prayers be incense before you. Flash forward, and we have the Apostle John, and he's given a view. He's given an image of the throne room of God. And he records what he saw in Revelation. Revelation 5, 8. It says this, and when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Can you imagine that? Our prayers have the potential to be incense before the Lord in his throne room. Incense that was supposed to be in the temple, supposed to be lit day and night forever and ever for all generations to come, according to Exodus 30, verses 7 and 8. We know the temple has been destroyed. Oh, but what? We also know that we now are the temple. And what are we called to do day and night? What are we called to do continually? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. In the good circumstances, in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What if we did this? What a pleasing aroma our prayers would be before the Lord. Amen. What a privilege that we have to offer our prayers to him, to the God of the universe, to the Lamb that was slain. Can I call you to be a person of prayer and to offer that? Can I call you to think like David, let my prayers be incense before you? Two-thirds of us, our bowls are nearly empty. Let that not be us. Amen. In that Psalm 141, David prays, I call to you, Lord, come quickly to me, hear me when I call to you. I love this image. David believes in his heart that not only can he call out to the Lord, but that he can request that the Lord come to him. Right? What audacity, isn't that? I mean, could you imagine me thinking I could just call the governor of this state, or I could call the president, or I could even call the head coach of the Buckeyes, Ryan Day, right? That alone would be audacious, thinking that I have the right, I have the opportunity to do that. But could you imagine me expecting them to come to me? And these are just people. This is the God of the universe who resides in heaven that David is talking to. Come quickly to me. How can we expect that? James 4:8. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. The prophet Jeremiah said in 29, verses 12 through 13, then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If we come near to God, he will come near to us. Have you thought about how crazy that is? Why do we have this privilege? Because God has adopted us, right? And made us like sons and daughters. If my kids ever want to approach me, if my kids ever want to talk to me, of course, I'm going to make myself available to them. I'm going to lean in. I'm going to draw in, right? That's why Jesus tells us that when we pray, we should pray to our Father in heaven. That's how this prayer starts off, right? This is how we enter into prayer. And because of that connection, we need to move prayer from being transactional to relational. Sometimes our kids approach us, and it can be pretty transactional, right? Dad, I need this. Mom, I need this, right? Sometimes we as parents just want to spend time with our kids, so we'll say to our kids, hey, you want to drive with me to Mansfield? I got some errands to run. And our kids may respond, well, what are you going to buy me? What's in it for me? What can I get out of this? How about just some time with your dad? Too often the transaction is our main purpose, is our only purpose for prayer, right? I'm just coming to get something. But what if that thing that you were coming to get was only God's presence, only time with your Father? Would that be enough for us? Can I encourage you that when you pray, to just seek His presence and make that the priority of what you're hoping to accomplish? Call on Him to make His presence known. You can't see Him, but you surely can feel Him. Here I am, Lord. I'm here to spend time with You. I don't have an agenda. We naturally want to come with the list. But Jesus tells us in Matthew 6:8, Your Father knows what you need before you even ask Him. Your Father knows what you need even before you ask Him. He knows, so don't rush into it, right? Just make time to commune with God and get together. He wants you to bring Him your needs, right? But He already knows them, so they don't have to be first. They don't have to be the priority. You see, the first thing after you draw near to Him as your Father, after He draws near, after He leans in back, right, the first thing that we should do is praise Him. Matthew 6:9, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Father, here I am, and I just want to give You the praise that You are due. If you come into His presence and praise Him, what's going to happen? Our gaze is going to be drawn to Him, right? We talked about that a couple weeks ago. Our gaze is going to be shifted. Our gaze is going to be drawn from that storm that's in front of us, drawn to the One who calms the storm. The size of that huge storm is going to be put into its proper perspective next to our unlimited God, our all-powerful, sovereign Lord. That is the power of praise. Well, James, I want to give Him praise, but you don't realize the chaos that is threatening me, that is all around me. Oh, would you let Psalm 46 just speak to you? Here's what it says, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present, a semi-present? No, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, because of that, because God is our refuge, because God is our strength, because God is ever present, right? Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give away and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. No matter if everything just goes to pot, right? Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. You may know what that's like, right? But we will not fear. Verses 7 to 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Do you desire God to be that fortress for you? Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolation He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says this, be still and just know I am God. There is nothing else in this universe like our God. There is nothing else that has the power like our God, right? I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in this earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Lord, I know that you make wars cease, right? That you break bows and shatter spears, but everything is falling apart around me. Would you just help me to be still? Would you just remind me that you are God? You are unlike any other. You are to be hallowed. You are to be set apart. Would you be my refuge? Would you be the source of my strength? Because I have none right now. And would you just remind me that you are always with me? Would you just remind me that you control it all? Make the word of God a part of your prayer time, right? That is the primary way that he speaks to us, is through his word. So if you're drawing near and you want to hear him, that's what we all say. We can't see him, but we would like to hear from God. Open up his word, right? Open up the Bible and include that in your time that you commune with him. Allow him to speak through it. When you're in prayer, you don't even need to talk, right? You don't even need to say what your needs are because he already knows. In prayer, you can just listen. You can just be reminded of the God that you serve, right? This is my place of refuge. This is my place of strength. And it's just in that time. I like to just sit on the end of the couch. I like to get up, put a blanket on because it's cold, and just sit there and just get into his presence and experience that and open up his word and let him speak to me. It's literally a place of refuge for me, a place of peace for me. Refuge in the storms of life, right? It's a place that the presence of God is felt and the peace of God is known. Develop that. If you try, maybe that first time that you enter into that time, enter into prayer, you may not feel all that. It may not feel like that, but I want you to know that if you keep that up, it will. It will more and more, and it'll just become a fortress to enter into. Keep speaking to him. Keep drawing near to him and listening for what he has to tell you. Because sometimes we're just all about the list. And we don't get to hear about he is for us, not against us, right? When you're in that place, not only seek him, but seek his will. Verse 10, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Can you ask yourself this question? Can you just wrestle with this, right? Whose kingdom are you primarily focused on building? Whose kingdom is the focus of your life right now? If you're not in prayer, if you're not in the word, that focus, I guarantee, is going to be on your kingdom, your will, right? Your kingdom, your will take precedence over everything else. You'll fund it. You'll prioritize it, right? Your kingdom first. And what will happen is you will give God the leftovers. That will be your offering. The tithe is a beautiful thing. People think the tithe is a pastor's way to get their money, right, in churches so that they could buy jets and stuff like that. It's not. It's not really. It's really about shifting priorities. The tithe is about shifting your priority, shifting where you place your trust, right? God calls you to tithe and not just in money, right? He calls you to bring the first fruits to him and give that to him. And then live off of the rest, right? You won't be able to do that, though, unless you trust him. You won't trust him unless you spend time in his presence. The tithe is about shifting that priority, his kingdom first, and then a shift in trust. He will provide for me. God calls us to not work one day out of the week, right? The Sabbath was made for man so that we could find rest. so that we could have a day off, so that we could spend quality time with him and with our family, right? But we trade that so that we can build our kingdom, don't we? We'll look for overtime to build our kingdom. We'll literally work on our house or on our projects or the things of our kingdom instead of following his word. Whose kingdom is your life focused on, right? I know some employers in our community don't allow you to have a day off, and I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the times that we do have the opportunity to take a day off, and we choose instead to work. We choose instead to build our kingdom. We choose instead our will, right? God calls us to labor, not labor, one day out of the week. A tithe, if you will, to set that day aside. Set it aside to do what? Well, spend it with your family. A day to meet together at church. Meet together to do what? Hebrews 10:24-25. This is where our accountability groups are coming from. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Don't make the focus of your life, the primary focus of your life, building your kingdom. Don't make the primary focus of your life building your house, right? Your retirement. It's all a trick. It's all a scheme of the enemy. Can you work on your house? Can you work for retirement? Absolutely. Those aren't bad things. They're only bad if you make it the first priority and you sacrifice other things to that, right? Make the focus his kingdom. Jesus says this in Matthew 16:24-26. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple, do you want to be his disciple? Then you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." My will is to save my life. His will might be to lose my life, right? What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world? Do you hear that? To make that the priority, right? Yet forfeit their soul. Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? That's the trick of the world. Go after it, and you lose what's most important. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Matthew 6:33. If you don't go after it, if you seek his kingdom, right, with everything that you are, you get the desires of your heart. It's a trick. It's a trick for us. It's all backwards to how you normally think, right? At least me. Maybe you're not like me, right? Lord, I crave the things of this world. This is my prayer. I want them. But help me to want your kingdom more. Help me to realize the temporary nature of the things of this world compared to the eternal in your kingdom, right? Help me to put your will before my own. Here I am. What would you like me to do today? Would you give me an opportunity to serve you today? While I'm at work, right? While I'm at the grocery store, while I'm at the gas station, would you just put somebody in my path that I can talk to you? Would you put somebody in my path at church that I can spur, that I can encourage, right? Verse 11, give us today our daily bread. God knows what we need even before we ask him, but he still tells us to ask, right? Why do we do that if he knows? Well, Jesus is inviting us. God is inviting us to depend on him. God is inviting us to depend on him to sustain us, to provide for what we need. what happens in the previous words. Your kingdom come, your will be done. God is going to ask you to do things. God is going to ask you to step out on faith. And by your accounting, when you add it all up, right, you're not going to have enough money. You're not going to have enough time. You're not going to be that person, right, that would be a good fit for that thing that God wants you to do. So you're going to be tempted to not move, to just stay where you're at, right? If you don't learn to depend on him, to be the source to provide your daily bread, to trust him, right, you will not move forward in what he calls you to do, period. Become a pastor. Lord, you are the wrong person. I'm an introvert. I don't like to speak in front of people. Send somebody else. No, you go and you trust me that I'll make a way, right, that I'll provide for what you need. Joshua, go attack that high-walled city, right? I want you to march around it 7 times and then scream, right? You go attack it that way. That's the plan, Lord? That's the plan? That's what you want me to do? I need you to lay this out a little bit more. No, you just go, and you depend on me, and you trust me with it, right? If you can't trust God to supply what you need, you will not move forward. You can find that trust, though. You can find that confidence when you spend time in his presence and you are reminded what a big God he is. That's where you find boldness in prayer, communing with God, praising him. That's where you wrestle, and that's where you surrender to his will, and you trust him to supply what we need. God invites us to ask. He invites us to knock. He invites us to seek because he has everything that we need to accomplish his will, right? Not accomplish your will. Accomplish his. God will provide a way for what he calls us to do. We just need to move forward and trust him with it. Father, you said we don't have because we don't ask, right? Lord, we need this for this ministry. We're going to trust you to provide it. Lord, we're going to trust you to call somebody and raise somebody up to lead it. And we're going to move forward and break ground and prepare it and trust the rest to you. Verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I love watching The Chosen because we just get this visual image into these people that we read about. We're reminded that they were people just like us, right? Matthew, who records this passage that we just read, was a tax collector when Jesus called him to follow him. Matthew would have known all about debts. People were constantly coming him to pay debts that they owed Rome, right? There was no forgiving those debts. People would be locked away if they couldn't pay it until somebody else paid the price of those debts for them. That's us, right? Could you imagine what he must have been thinking when he wrote those words? We can ask for our debts to be forgiven. I had no hope of my debts being forgiven. I had no hope of paying all my debts for the things that I've done wrong, but praise God, I met somebody who does pay for those. I encountered Jesus, right? And I learned of how he paid for my debts. I learned the price that was paid for my debts. I heard the good news, and 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This time for God, with God, is a time for us to confess our sins and realize that he is faithful to forgive them. So if there's anything that we need to confess, we need to do that, right? Being in the Word will show us those areas that we need to confess, will show us if we're off that path that he calls us to, right? Lord, I hate that I've picked this thing up again. Will you forgive me? I'm struggling because I know this is not what you want for me, right? I'm drawn to this, though. This is what I want to do, but I know it's not what you want me to do. Father, would you change my heart Would you change my desires in this area? Right? This is the time to draw what's in the darkness into the light. You draw that, you do that by telling God what you want to do. I want to do this. I desire to do this. And as you talk to God, you draw that thing from the darkness into the light. And in the light of God's presence, it cannot stand. It will flee. Be honest with those desires and just ask Him to change your heart. Can I read that 1 John 1:9 again? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. After we seek His forgiveness and confess our sins, then we seek to forgive people, or at the same time that we owe debts to, right? Or that owe us debts, excuse me. They go hand in hand as we also have forgiven our debtors. The warning, if we don't, is pretty clear in the next passage, Matthew 6:14-15. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Don't let unforgiveness drag you to hell. It is a burden that you are not meant to carry. It will weigh you down. It will steal every ounce of joy in your life. Know that there is a God. There is a God of justice, and trust Him with that. Trust Him to repay evil. Lord, would you just enable me to forgive this person? I don't want to forgive this person. I want to see this person pay, but I know that your desire is to see them come to you. Help me to forgive them. Help me to be able to lay this thing down and entrust it to you. You have forgiven me of so much. Would you give me your heart for people so that I can forgive those people? Soften my heart, right? When you spend time communing with God, you get His heart. You will be reminded, right, of all that you need to ask forgiveness for, things that you need to lay down, things that you need to repent, people that you need to forgive, and situations that you need to address when you spend time with Him. Matthew 5:23-24, Jesus said this, therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there on the front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Why stop with your offering? Because that honors the grace of God, right? I can't be in His presence. I can't be in communion with Him and confess things and thank Him for the richness of His grace if I am not willing to share that grace, the richness of His grace, with somebody else. When you spend time in the presence of God and you commune with Him, you're probably going to come away from that time with a list of things to do. I need to contact this person. I need to seek their forgiveness, right? They may not forgive you, but you need to offer it. You need to attempt to make that situation right. My friends, this is the Lord's Prayer. This is the prayer that He taught His followers to pray. If you aren't in a habit of praying, if you're like the 2/3 of Christians, can I encourage you to start? It's an amazing privilege to enter into His presence, to commune with Him. And I hope you experience it like you've never experienced it before this year. It will flip your life upside down. It will shift your perspective. It will reprioritize your life. You will have opportunities to join God in what He is doing. Christianity will never be boring. One of the aspects of prayer that isn't covered here is that we can intercede for others. We can approach the throne for somebody who doesn't know God, somebody who isn't a son and daughter of God, right? God calls us to intercede and pray for different people, to pray for those in authority, right? Are you doing that? Do you pray for your president, whether you like him or not? Are you for your governor, whether you like him or not? You pray for ministers. We're called to do that. Man, I covet your prayers. calls us to pray for our friends, our family, for our nation, for the sick, right? Even for those who persecute us, even for our enemies, even for those who forsake us. He calls us to pray for them. If you're having trouble forgiving, pray for that person. Again, what a privilege. What a privilege. If you don't have it, you're missing out. I love it because it is just a place, like I said, of refuge, a place of reset, a place of strength, a place to determine God's will and get direction, a place to be refueled. I don't want to miss it. Here's my challenge. Be a person of prayer. Lord, let us be people of prayer. Lord, let this be a house of prayer. My friends, let's fill up some bowls. Let's fill up many bowls as incense before the Lord, right? Let our prayers be just that, some sweet aroma to Him. If they're about our will, if they're about our way, they won't be. We need to surrender that to Him. Amen? Let me pray for you. Father, we thank you for the opportunity today to be in your word, to learn from it, to be taught by it, right? Thank you for an opportunity, even though we're away, to be drawn into your presence, Lord. We are grateful. Father, I'm exceptionally thankful for the people that were willing to come out today and to serve. Lord, we thank you for the cross. Lord, we thank you for seeking after us. Even when we rejected you, even when we spit in your face, even when we nailed you to a cross, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you that you are slow to anger and abounding in love. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. I need that, Lord. We thank you for freeing us from sin. We thank you for comforting us in our sorrow. We thank you for compassion. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your strength. We thank you for your discipline. We thank you for your correction. We thank you for not giving up on us, even when we picked it up for the 490th time, even though that we are a stiff-necked people. We thank you for making us your sons and daughters and all that that amazing privilege has. Father, we want to be used by you as your church, and so we ask you to call us. We ask you that you would give us opportunities this very week to share the good news with people. We pray that you would mobilize this body to accomplish your will. We pray that we'd be able to tell people there is a God who loved them and died for them so that they could have a relationship with you. Father, steer conversations, especially with our family members who don't know you, who are away from you. Enable us, like the people in Acts prayed, to be bold, Lord. Let us consider their threats and enable your servants to be bold and preach the word of God. Share the word of God with people. Lord, would you just be exalted in everything that we do? Father, would you be the priority of our lives? Would your kingdom and your will eclipse our kingdom and our will? Would you help us to lay those things down? Father, as you call us, help us to depend on you. Help us to remember to ask you for what we need, right? Father, would you provide for the people who are stepping out financially and doing what you call them to do? Would you heal those who are sick? Would you be a source of comfort for those who have lost people that are special to them? Would you be a rock to cling to, a refuge in the storm? Would you heal marriages, Lord, that are falling apart? Would you unite spouses in ministry and your will? Would you free us from the chains that bind us once and for all? Would you help us to just walk in that freedom and claim it?
Father, forgive us for being unfaithful. Forgive us for picking those things up that we shouldn't. Forgive us for being a nation that dishonors you. Forgive our pride. Forgive us our unrighteous anger. Forgive us our selfishness. Cleanse us, Lord, and help us to see those around us as you see them. Help us to share the grace that has been given to us, to even those that have wronged us, even those that have forsaken us. Unite families, Lord. Let us not hold on to those things. Enable us to lay those things down at your feet. Enable us to lay all that bitterness and unforgiveness. Father, be our source of justice. Lord, would you just lead us the rest of the days of our lives, Lord. Father, we ask this in the name of your Son who made our relationship possible, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. Thank you for tuning in. Hope to see you Wednesday or next Sunday. Remember, if you'd like to be baptized, let us know so that we can talk to you, and we'd love to see that. Go with God. We love you. Don't forget the blessful brunch that's coming up Saturday. It's not too late to sign up for it. Just let somebody in the church know. WillardNaz@gmail.com, PalmRich@gmail.com, 567-224-0064, 567-224-0064. Send us a message. We love you. Go with God. In your name, amen.